I really like hanging out with. It's just such a great blessing to be a part of a church so filled with love and unity. But it's love and unity based in the truth of God's word, and just to celebrate with you folks the wonderful of our God, such a great blessing this morning. We're just continuing on, marching through the book of Hebrews, and verse by verse, passage by passage. And so you follow along with me now. I'm going to read Hebrews 6, and I'm going to begin in verse 13. This is God's word. Let's pay attention. Let's heed to God's word. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, and confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And all of God's people said, amen. This is the word of God. I don't need to tell you that we're living in very tumultuous times. It's so easy to get caught up in today's culture, meaning today's, I'm reminded of James 1:6, where it says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." There's a lot of waves in our culture today that can toss us about. 15 years ago, we could never have imagined that our culture would be so confused about gender. Think of it, you know. We would never have dreamed of questioning our gender, and yet we find ourselves in this time where our culture is doing that. Never would we have dreamed that it would embrace the LGBT lifestyle as normal, and that so many churches would embrace it and allow gay pastors and leaders. We never would have dreamed of this 15 years ago, but there's these waves that are crashing in our culture and literally causing our culture to crumble before our very eyes. We never would have dreamed that books in our public and school libraries that are accessible to our kids would have pornographic and sexual perversion. We never would have dreamed of having that in our schools a very short time ago. And thank God we do have Texas law in the books now that are going to begin to ban those books. And I know you start talking about banning books, and I know there's historical matters to consider there, but it's far better than anything goes. We shouldn't ever have anything goes in terms of what we're allowing our children to read and how we're shaping them and molding them and influencing them. And maybe you just feel tossed about this morning in this life that we're living just by the circumstances of your life, and it seems like there's one storm after another, and you're just being just kind of torn and tossed about by everything that's coming along in the circumstances of your life. Maybe you feel like the wheels have come off in your life. But today I want to introduce to you that in this culture that we have one anchor for our souls, and it is the hope of Jesus Christ. That's the only anchor that we have in this changing time in which we live. And this anchor of our souls is comprised of one main ingredient, and that is hope in Jesus Christ. And we've defined it several times, but maybe some of you are new, but I hope I repeat this often enough that you just know that biblical hope is far different than the hope that we have in our, you know, the way we use hope today. I hope the Texas Rangers turn it around. I don't know if they ever will or not, but they're sinking fast, you know. And we hope for a lot of things that may or may not come true. But biblical hope is the confident, write it down, the confident expectation of things to come based on the promises of God. It's the only way that we can have a positive outlook on the future, that it's based on the promises of our Almighty God. And so in this passage, we come to understand some things about this anchor. That it, first of all, we see the anchor of hope's composition. What is this anchor of hope comprised of? What is it made of? 13 through 15 help us to understand, first of all, that this anchor is comprised of his promises. In verses 13 through 15, we see our great God has made promises, and he always keeps them. Are y'all out there? Our God makes promises and always keeps them. Amen? One evangelist I listen to quite often, he'll say, "Hello, somebody." You know, he'll say something like, "Hello, somebody." You know, I'm just here to tell you that his promises, God clearly promises here in this passage to Abraham, even swearing by himself to bless and multiply him. And wow, did God ever keep that promise in Abraham's life? And you can look out throughout biblical and human history and see that God has always been faithful in every promise that he's ever made. Can you testify to that this morning? That God has been faithful? We're told in Hebrews 6:18 that there are two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we may have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And so in that verse, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do, or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And so there again, in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie before time began. It's not within his character or nature at all to ever, and I know human nature well enough to know that I know this crowd and all of us have been caught in a lie or two. Amen? And sometimes it's what we call white lies, you know. When the wife asks, how does she look in this dress, you know. We may say something else than what we're really thinking, men, you know. That's never true of my wife, but I'm just saying. You know, so it's just, we need to understand that it's impossible for him to lie, that God is the ultimate promise keeper. Years ago, we had this movement in our nation called the Promise Keepers, and men continually over and over going to pledge and to keep their promises that they had made to their spouse and to their family and to God. But I'm just here to tell you today, we are all prone to break our promises because we cannot control the circumstances that may hinder us from keeping a promise. I can promise you something, but then, you know, sickness or circumstances or something way out of my control may keep me from keeping that promise, but God is in control of all the circumstances. You see, he's sovereign and he's provident, so God is able to make a promise, and 100% all the time, he is able to keep it because he is sovereign and providential. And so we read in verse 15 that Abraham obtained this promise through endurance and patience, taking the heat, standing under the load. We talked about that last week, how faith and patience are in tandem and work together as we trust God. We're able to have patience. And we see this in Abraham's life. We know he wasn't perfect at this, but in the end, he obtained the promise because he never gave up on God's promise. And we know that this is true of all God's promises, that they can only be obtained as we learn to be patient and wait on him to never give up. And so with Abraham, God goes a step further with his promise. He actually made an oath. In Genesis 22, we read about it, where God said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. And because of that blessing, God says to him, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And so obedience comes into the picture here, and endurance. And as we do that, as we continue to trust in God and wait on him and obey him, then we begin to inherit these promises that God makes to us. And so this is describing how God was willing to make an oath. And many times men, our nature, men, women, humans, well, we want something greater than a promise, and it leads to an oath. But here's the deal. And out of this passage, we see, as we kind of read it, that while God was willing to confirm his promise by an oath, to even show more abundantly, the scripture says, how his promises could be counted on, his promises are always that we can stand on those promises. We used to sing about that, the old hymn, standing on the promises of God. We can stand on them. And in these many years of ministry, I have learned so well that people will let you down. I have let people down in my past, I know. I probably let some of you down at one time or another when you thought I should have said or done something, whatever. I'll confess, and I'll just say I'm sorry for letting you down. I've been let down by those who I really thought would be there through it all, and they just didn't. We've all been let down. But I'm here to testify this morning that the Lord has never let me down. He's always been there, and he's always been faithful. Jesus never fails. That is why Jesus is the one anchor for your soul today. This is the message of this passage of Scripture. This one anchor for the soul is comprised of his counsel, not only his promises, but also we see here his counsel, that his counsel is immutable, that God never changes, therefore his word never changes. That word immutable means to not change, okay? And this is a concept that is very unfamiliar to us in this culture, because when we look around, everything is changing. But the message today is that God never changes, that his truth transcends time, and that it goes to all generations, that the Bible is never irrelevant. This culture would have you to believe that this is an old, archaic obsolete book. But I'm here to tell you that this book is alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce to the very depths of my soul, and that because of that, it is completely relevant in my life, and it is completely relevant to this culture. That the truths that are revealed in this book are true for every generation, even this one. Our culture has it backwards. We say, well, we've got to bring our lifestyle to the Bible, and this is what I'm doing, God. Now let me try to find a verse that'll help me justify it. When in fact we have it backwards. Instead, we are called to the Word of God into our lifestyle, by the Word of God into our lifestyle, and that we, as we look at God's Word, we're bringing our life in line to His Word. And we're saying, this is what God says, and this is where I'm coming alongside of God's Word, and I'm going to adjust my life, and my thinking, and my attitudes, and my actions are going to be true to the Word of God. But what about you today? Are you justifying maybe something in your life? And maybe you can pick a verse out and justify it? Got it backwards. Once Billy Graham was accused of trying to set the church back 50 years with his preaching. Billy Graham replied, I'm deeply ashamed. I have been trying very hard to set the church back 2,000. That this is what we go by. Somebody was talking to me. Joe was talking to me about the wife of the man who founded Salvation Army and was talking about how she was actually... Just try to imagine if you could erase all of church history and everything, you know, from Acts chapter 2 forward, if we could erase everything and everything about the American church that we know today and everything about church in general and just go back to the way it was in Acts chapter 2. And I'm just telling you, you can't get any better than that. And so God's Word is timeless, and His counsel, God's Word is not only timeless, but it transcends the generations. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I love this part, that His word is sweeter than honey. Fine, more to be desired than gold. This is the word of God. This is His counsel that does not change. We're talking about the immutability of God, that He can't change. His word will never change, and we're called to bring our lives in line with His word. His word is profitable in this culture. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That, the purpose of it is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And many years ago, I heard Warren Wiersbe, a Bible commentator and teacher, said that out of this verse, we learn doctrine. That's what is right. If you want to know what's right in this culture, you look to the Word of God. Reproof, what is wrong? The Bible clearly defines what is right and what is wrong. And what we're saying here is that God is defined. Correction, it goes on to say, that's how to get right with God. And then instruction in righteousness is how to stay right with God. The Word of God is profitable for all these things. And so if you're ever wondering in this culture, okay, how can I know what truth is? And we're always perking our ears when we listen to the news and when we involved in media and everyday life, where we're searching for the truth. That's one thing we all have in common, is I just want to know the truth. And I'm just here to tell you that it's found in God's Word. Everything we need to know about God and about our times is found right here in God's Word. The anchor of our hope's composition, what it's made of, but also see in verse 19, the anchor of hope's description. It's describing this anchor that you can have for your soul today. And number one, the Bible says that it is sure. It's sure. That's two Greek words that basically mean not to totter. You ever remember the old commercial, weevils wobble but they don't fall down? It's kind of the picture that this word brings to my mind when I read the Greek. And you know, we don't want to totter. We're not just, you know, constantly falling. I had a little message on my iPhone the other day, and it said you're unsafe. Your walking is not good. Your walking is unsteady, is what it said. I'm like, I don't need a phone telling me that, okay? You know, these phones have gotten too smart these days. But it's the idea of being firm. This anchor for our soul is firm, it is certain, it is safe, it is reliable. That's the message of the word sure, that nothing in this world, I'm here to tell you today, nothing in this world will ever provide this kind of certainty and safety and reliability except God and His word, because He's immutable and this anchor is sure. And we're all searching for that during this time, so uncertain, so unsafe. We talk about social security, you know, and how much security is that really offering you today? The only security we can ever find is in the anchor for our soul is the hope of Jesus Christ. This anchor is sure. And the Bible goes on to say here in this passage that this anchor is stead. Now, the root idea of this is a strong base or a strong foundation as you're stepping and as you're walking to be able to have a solid footing, okay? So the only solid footing we can have is in this anchor for our soul. It's found in the Word of God, and it's the opposite of like a slippery slope. You ever been walking along maybe near a body of water, and you have the algae or whatever's on the rocks, and you try to set your foot down, and it just slips and slides, this kind of slippery slope. And that's what our culture is. It's one big slippery slope all around us, and the only is Jesus Christ. That the culture is nothing but shifting sand. Imagine it now. The United States of America is in a massive cultural transition. That the way boomers and millennials approach life and process information couldn't be any more different. And unfortunately, as culture shifts, so does the ethics and values that guide our culture. And sometimes I'm telling you folks that we're in real trouble here when it comes to this. And as values shift, the church should remain committed to engaging in ways that connect the gospel to the people of this nation, that we stand for truth as is revealed in God's Word. I'm here to tell you, there's only one anchor for your soul today. There's only one solid footing. That's the solid rock. Many of you remember the words of an old hymn that said it this way: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Folks, that's the truth. I mean, it's just the only where we can find a solid footing is in Jesus Christ. He is the anchor for our soul. This anchor of hope is also, it's described here in verse 18, the anchor of hope is provision. What does it provide for us? Well, first of all, it provides consolation. And this word consolation is the Greek word paraklesis, and it's where it describes the Holy Spirit as paraclete, and so it's the same idea of walking alongside of us, that this anchor provides this comfort, this ultimate comfort and encouragement and solace and refreshment, because the Holy Spirit is walking alongside of us and we find consolation in Jesus Christ. We know that we can rest in Him. How precious it is. We looked at Hebrews 4 and talked about the rest of God and how we can just trust in Him. And in this time that is so filled with turmoil, and maybe your individual life is so filled with turmoil, I'm here to tell you today, you can find rest in Jesus Christ. You can find consolation there. We'll console your soul. Maybe you're just troubled. Some of you, I can tell you had trouble going to sleep last night. And I don't know exactly why, but for some of you, it was because you were troubled. You're worried about somebody or something. It could be your marriage. It could be your kids or grandkids or whatever. You're just, man, in your soul, everything's just turning over and over, and it's churning. And the peace of God, you don't have that. I'm here to tell you, you can find the peace of God. You can find this anchor for your soul that will provide this comfort, this consolation that will just take all that churning away and help you to sleep. What does it provide? It provides consolation, but we see also here in the same passage in verse 18 where it says that it will provide a place of refuge. Literally, this word is flee for refuge. It's one word, but it means to flee for refuge. How precious it is to have someone to run to. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe." Today, in this crazy place we're living in, you can find in the Lord a strong tower, a place of refuge. Psalm 71 verse 3 says, "Be my strong refuge, Lord, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." Our God's a strong refuge. Anybody need a refuge today? Man, you know, I find refuge in my marriage. I find refuge in our little tiny home. I walk in there sometimes. It's just, thank you, God, to be home. You know, and out of all that's going on, it's just such a refuge. But the greatest refuge for all of us, for our soul, is found in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can anchor your soul and give you this refuge. The Word of God here is calling us to lay hold. I love that language, to lay hold of this anchor for our soul. Lay hold of it. Grab hold of it. This passage teaches us that God is immutable. And this is a word we don't use in everyday language, but in doctrine it's so important. It's the doctrine of the immutability of God, that He will never. The Westminster Catechism puts it like this: God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, in His wisdom, in His power, His holiness, His justice, His goodness, and His truth. In other words, James 1:17 describes it is that in God there is no shadow of turning. There's no variation or shadow of turning. Isn't it great to have that kind of refuge and that someone that we can run to that never changes in this world that is so filled with shame? Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said he will not do, or has he spoken he will not make it good? He is immutable. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. That means it's good for this generation. Our God is truth for this generation. Many years ago, I was pastor of Red Springs, Texas. Not the one by Tyler, but the one west of Seymour, just at the end of the earth, where the earth drops off. That's where we're out in the middle of nowhere. And it was a little country church. And we'd had an associational meeting, and I went, and we sat through all the reports and the budgets and the bills and all this kind of thing, and it was kind of long, and it was getting kind of tough. And so, you know, just right in the middle of this associational meeting, a little old lady just stands up and said, "Brother Moderator, I've got something I got to say." And she began to sing the words to this psalm. And if you know it, I've asked Darren to come and play and sing it for us. And if you know it, I want you to help sing it right now. It's called Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Let's stand together. Let's sing together. I believe the words will be on the screen.
Time is filled with swift transitions. Not of earth unmoved shall stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, have been true, fair and bright, the home in glory. There your enraptured soul may view. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
That song, and out of that came a beautiful time of worship. Wasn't a dry eye in the place. Folks, I'm just here to tell you today, that's our hope, that's our anchor for our soul. You can hold to God's unchanging hand. Would you build your life on things eternal? Perhaps you've never truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And today, the opportunity is right before us, and maybe God's drawing you by His Spirit to come and receive Jesus, and He'll become that anchor for your soul, that anchor for your life that you're so desiring. Perhaps in your life, you've just kind of been getting tossed about and beat up by this world. And today, you need to return to this anchor and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and lead us in a time of invitation. And this is the time to respond to God. There's only one anchor, folks, only one anchor. And His name is Jesus Christ, the hope that He has. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come before You today, thanking You for this anchor for our soul. And we trust in You, God, that You are sure and You are steadfast. And so, God, in these moments, I pray that You would help us to worship You and You would help us to hold to that unchanging hand. And, Lord, You're speaking to some of us. You're speaking to some of us to move and to come and receive You as Lord and Savior. And others, You're moving on us to come and recommit our lives to You.
God, whatever you desire to do, help us to simply be obedient and say yes to your Spirit in these moments. This is our prayer. God bless you. Time